Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are in a dogfight down here in the city of Benton Harbor. We are doing some of the things that need to be done. We are fighting for our lives down here. I tell you, we just put another letter together to be sent out to Whirlpool, Harbor Shores, the PGA of America, Cornerstone Alliance, Marcus Robinson, and these hoodlum preachers. Right now, you can buy three, not two, three pastors in the city of Benton Harbor for a dollar. But let me read the letter. I'll make it short and I'll make it brief. As a concerned citizen of Benton Harbor, Michigan, with support from allies around the world, we protest the exploitation of the community of Benton Harbor by Harbor Shores, the PGA Golf Club of America, KitchenAid, Whirlpool, and I got to emphasize once again the PGA of America, because they go all over the country exploiting people, taking land with these golf courses for the rich, the 1%. The Harbor Shores development came about only through the undermining of democracy, political pressure on public agencies, the theft of land for private profit, the destruction of rare ecologies, the theft of water from the public, and the continued destruction of the very fabric of the predominantly black community of Benton Harbor, which is already politically disenfranchised, economically impoverished. We, the people, have to take a stand. We have to take this thing to a whole different level. We have to show the people what we're made of. Let's take back America. Or let's take America, because basically we never had it. And I think that's something that we all can do. We're living in the time now where they're still treating black folks as slaves. They're buying ministers. They're buying them, especially here in the city of Benton Harbor. I stated earlier, you can get three, not two, not one, but three black pastors for a dollar. And if you get them on Sunday, they'll throw in a Coca-Cola. I tell you, we are in a dogfight for our life, not just here in the city of Benton Harbor, but it's all around the world, all around this country, all around the state that you live in, all around the city that you may live in. But I tell you, we are going to fight this until the end. But in the meantime, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King, and I'm going to have to bring on my dear friend, my man, Ralph Pointer.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Let me ask you a question, or let me give you some facts. You and I do not set fiscal policies. Congress does. You and I do not control monetary policy. The Federal Reserve Bank does. 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, one Supreme Court, 9 Supreme Court justices, equal to 549 human beings out of 300 million who are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problem that plagued this country. If the tax code is unfair, it's because they want it to be unfair. If the budget is in the red, it's because they want it in the red. If the Army Marines are in Iraq, Afghanistan, it's because they want them in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we, the people, have to take a stand. But I tell you, I'm excited today. Let me see, before I bring on Ralph, let me bring on George just for a moment so he can tell us about the FBI in L.A. George, are you there?
Yeah, Reverend Pinckney, I thank you for what you do for people everywhere. And it couldn't be more poignant that you played this Martin Luther King piece. Before what we're going to talk about here for a little bit concerning the FBI coming into Los Angeles on the child abuse case at Miramonte and other cases. We just were out at the Mr. Claypool, who wrote President Obama, and Obama asked the Justice Department and thereby the FBI to start to open a file on this case. And we were out at the press conference and videoed it. You can see it all on Google. If you just go to George, the number one, L.A., you can watch the entire press conference. And what's happening and what we're trying to do is get the FBI, and we were in discussion with them for about an hour and a half Friday, to expand this investigation into all the rest of the corruption. Because this corruption is caused by the same people that are ruining public education nationwide. I mean, let's face it, it is everywhere, and it's the same players. It's Broad, it's Gates, it's Walton, it's Wasserman, it's the hedge funds, and they're in it for the big money. They don't care about us. And when they show that they don't care about child abuse, and by the way, California law states that if they don't report to the proper police agency within 36 hours, they get 6 months in jail and or a $1,000 fine. If they interfere with an investigation, they get 6 months in jail and or a $1,000 fine. Well, we don't need any new law. All we need is the present law enforcement. You're going to see people from the very top going to jail for not caring if children are psychologically, sexually, or physically abused. We have so many cases that make your head spin. We're trying to get them into teachers being falsely charged with child abuse for whistleblowing, for financial impropriety. In fact, we just learned Friday that LA Unified has a $500 million secret fund for paying off cases. There is no line item in the budget for this.
Wow, that's amazing, George. That's amazing.
I know where the money is because I found on the CDE website that they have $2.162 billion unspent over the last 11 years.
Wow.
So while they're cutting jobs and cutting programs, as I found in many other districts, they have a lot of money sitting in the bank somewhere for who knows what they want to do. Now we know what 25% of that $2 billion is for. It's for this slush fund to pay off cases.
Wow, that's amazing, George. Tell us a little bit more about the FBI coming in.
Well, I have the letter right here. In March 2nd, 2012, Mr. Claypool, the lawyer representing 11 of these students and their parents, wrote the president. The president forwarded it to the Department of Justice, which, and a division of the Department of Justice is the FBI.
Okay.
So the Crimes Against Children Unit has reviewed the information and is warranting an additional investigation. The letter is from Jane L. Chalman, who's chief of the Violent Criminal Threat Section for the FBI in Washington, D.C. So right now what's happening is what we want to do is get this investigation broadened from just child abuse, because that's just, to me, it's like a pimple. It's just the tip of the iceberg of the total corruption there.
Wow.
But it's so glaring, because you also have to remember here, we have the sex scandal with former Superintendent Cortinas.
Yeah, I know about that.
And an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wish it wasn't this way, but sex sells, Rev. And if this is what it takes to get an investigation into LA Unified, which is the second largest school district in the United States, so be it. Now, it's our job to press the FBI to do a complete investigation, because when they break down LAUSD, it's going to lead to one place. It's going to lead to those puppet masters I was just describing. Because
absolutely.
The board and superintendent don't run this district. They don't run this city. It's those billionaires. And what people don't realize is that the DOD budget this year is about $682
billion.
Mm-hmm. K-12 general fund, without school construction, where the big money's stolen,
mm-hmm.
is $700-plus billion. Now tell me, where's the big money?
Wow.
These guys want charter schools? Why do you think Broad and Gates are putting all these superintendents and administrators in all the districts nationwide?
Well, I mean, you know one thing, let me say this to you, George. I know quite a bit about the L.A. school district and also your union out there. And they are working together against the teachers. But we cannot really do anything until those teachers start standing up and saying enough is enough. Until they do that, it's going to continue. But I applaud you for your work, because I know you've been fighting this battle for a very, very long time. And that truancy thing that you was talking about is so amazing, because people do not see it that way. Most of the time, people, they care less about that. But you have been the drum major and actually putting that out there so people could see it, because even myself here in the city of Benton Harbor, I also use your format in order to challenge the superintendent and the school board here in the city of Benton Harbor in reference to that. But I am so happy to hear that you have finally got some help with the FBI. Well, let's see what they do. Remember, the FBI is all part of that, too. So let's see what we can do and take that. Listen, you got about two minutes.
Well, I'm worried that this might be a political stunt.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I want to really press hard to put the FBI in a position, to be perfectly honest,
mm-hmm.
that this
mm-hmm.
cannot be a political stunt for the election.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't really know, but considering how politics works, and I'm a student of history,
yes,
anything is possible. Read about Julius Caesar like I am right now with Suetonius.
Absolutely.
Okay? You're going to see how things really work with really advanced guys. These guys
mm-hmm.
aren't advanced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, George, listen, I'm going to give you another 30 seconds to say whatever you want. Then I got to bring on my dear friend, my colleague, my good friend Ralph. But you got 30 seconds to say it. Then I want you to hold on and just listen to the show, because I'm going to give you a little time at the end to say something. Go right here. Say what you want to say.
I really appreciate it, Ralph. We need all of your help to press the FBI. If they hear from people around the United States, please, go do to LA Unified what you're doing to those corrupt politicians in Massachusetts concerning nothing other than the criminality of selling positions in the probation department. They spent 20 months on that. It's in the Boston Globe today. This is about children and sexual and psychological and physical abuse. This is about total corruption of the system. And without our schools, we have nothing, because they're the future, and that's it.
Wow, way to go, George. George, please hold on. Hey, Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. And is every week's program, it is so loaded with so much information. It's just mind-blowing, and I hope people are listening and taking it in. And I love the way you're able to open up the program with sad reality and put a smile on the listener's face. And when you were talking about the three preachers and a free bottle of Coke, all I could think of is, I don't believe it, because Coca-Cola doesn't give anything away. And so, but as I'm saying, you talk about a serious issue, and it's a way to make us remember how serious this is. And then you have a guest who talks about the abuse of children. And for 60 years now, I've been fighting that struggle to have our schools, our inner city schools, controlled by the people of the inner cities, not by politicians or some administration. Community control, which all of white America enjoys, it just manages to get past our politicians, our preachers, and our other pimp-type people in public office. And so when you raise that and talk about the future of our children is in education, I would just like to ask people, think of what would happen in the present day economic system if we controlled the money of the inner cities that is designated to the school fund. Think of it. We would have local banks like North Dakota. There would be no foreclosures. We would have jobs comparable to the white community. Think of what that means. And so what we were talking about is the community control of your schools, your budget, your educational philosophy, and your jobs, and your banks, and your community. Because the way this capitalist system runs is if you buy a loaf of bread or a quart of milk, there's taxes involved. And the government collects the taxes and they give it back to you in public works, schools, hospitals, and roads. We couldn't get in the unions, and the few people that are in the unions are now in few people of color only because the unions have been broken. All of those years between 1935 and 1998, there was a prosperous America. We could not take part. So skip that part. Hospitals, we couldn't get in that because it's skilled work, doctors, nurses, etc. But what we could get into is schools. This we could do. But we sat around and allowed other people, like no other people on the planet, we allowed other people to control our education system, and our preachers and our politicians had nothing to say about it. And so here we are today, and I'm glad your guest is talking about it again. This is just another example of how we lost out by not paying attention, by having the wrong philosophy, by thinking that freedom is somehow free, and automatically we would become a part of America. Now, I know this is blasphemy for certain people because we know we have always had fighters who are fighting this. But I want people to understand every week, tune in and get an earful of what you must understand for our own survival, survival of our children, survival of their minds, and it just goes on and on and on, and it gets, it gets deeper and deeper, and now we find out that our president, Mr. Obama, has now signed a bill that makes wireless communication can be taken over now. Mm. This is the latest. And it brings me right back to the opening of your program when you opened with Martin Luther King. And I challenge people, I challenge your listeners to either be on the side of Martin Luther King or Obama, because you can't be on both sides. Mm. Because as Martin Luther King says, judge a man by the content of his character, not the color of his skin. And we go along giving Obama a free ride based on the color of his skin, no matter what he does. And this will lead to our destruction. So, Reverend, thank you so much. Thank you for your guest to come on and talk about the problems we have. But we have to begin to take responsibility and the blame for our own problems. Think if we had understood the value of controlling our schools. No foreclosures on homes, an unemployment rate equal to white America, and not having these kids controlled by another system running around, and they can't say nigger often enough. And if we had control of our system, we would have had none of that. So, Reverend, thank you again. Thank your guest. And, you know, keep it going because you're needed.
You know I will. And I want to tell you this, Ralph. I had a remarkable time with you in Baltimore. It was, I enjoyed every single minute. I mean, it was like, when we said we're connected, I mean exactly that, Ralph. And I want you to know this. You're a tremendous character, you know. And I say anybody who don't sit down and talk with you and try to suck in some of that knowledge that you have, they're losing out.
Well, I didn't get much time to talk to you because I want everybody to know when you walk down the street or down the hallway or in a room with Reverend Pinckney, there are 10 people in line to talk with you, Reverend, and for good reason, because they understand the work that you're doing. They enjoy being a part of it, and this is the beginning. I do believe this is the beginning of a change.
Absolutely.
We're going to have in America, because your battle up there in Benton Harbor, as you say, the emergency fiscal manager, they didn't make, what is it, 175 of them for Benton Harbor? You know, they only had got one for Benton Harbor. Those other 175 or 168 or how many others there are for the rest of us. And
that's
you
right.
Raised the call, you know, the British are coming. No, the Americans are here. The corporations are here. And we have somebody making the call, and are we going to rise up like the early citizens did when Paul Revere made the call, the British are coming? Are we going to respond in the same fashion that you've been going up and down a long time, Reverend, talking about the corporations are coming, the government is coming, they are coming to destroy us? And I know we're going to win because we must win. Continue
Absolutely.
Your clarion call, Reverend, and I will be listening and joining you at every opportunity.
Hey, I truly, truly appreciate that, Ralph. And, you know, our battle cry is going to be the emergency managers are coming. The dictators are coming. They're coming whether you like it or not, because the corporations, the top 1%, want them to take over this whole country. The charter schools, they're coming whether you like it or not, because that's part of the 1% program to eliminate. And whether you like it or not, the court system is here. That's part of the 1% program. And what they're doing, they're programming us. They're programming for us that either we're going to be behind those barbed wire fences or we're going to have to stand up and fight. There's only two choices.
Well, you've been making the call.
You know,
the fiscal emergency managers are coming. The corporations, you know, Whirlpool are coming. The courts are coming. And we're going to have to answer that call, whether it's one lantern by day or you know, by sea or two lanterns by land. We're going to have to answer that. And
that's
the
right.
land that they have taken, it must be two lanterns out there in Benton Harbor because they came and they took the land.
That's
but
right.
then on the other hand, maybe it's one lantern because they came and they took the beautiful sights on the seashore.
Yeah.
And I say, when are the people? No, I can't say that. I say, continue with your call and your ride at midnight and through the day in the courthouses to make people wake up and see what's happening. And it was a wonderful time over in Baltimore. I enjoyed being there and watching the Reverend Pinckney in action. And it was a lesson to me. And as I say, I enjoyed it. It was an educational experience. And just keep it going, Reverend.
Hey, you know I will, Rap.
I would pray that Reverend keeps it going. And as Mary Neal said last week, and she called me to say she's worried about you. And I'm saying, well, Mary, I guess those who step up, you know, and speak out are exposed. But there is no alternative to stepping out and speaking up and being exposed, because they don't need a Gestapo when everybody has their head down. So thanks, Reverend. Keep it up and continue with your guests to get them to raise their heads, too.
Absolutely.
And wear your lantern.
I want you to hang on because
your clarion call.
Right. And what I'm going to do, I want you to come back in a moment or two and talk a little bit about land for us. So let me go to my next guest in Louisiana. Louisiana, are you there?
Yes, sir. Reverend Pinckney.
Yes.
Yeah, my name, I call myself Brother Warren. I have a show here on Blog Talk Radio, but I'm so honored to have to speak with you. I read so much about you on Black Agenda Report and many of the online journals, and I'd like to have you as a guest to explain your body of work over the years, and I'm going to send you a message within this blog talk system with my information. I'd like to
okay.
have you here.
Instead of sending it to the blog talk, let me give you my email, and why don't you send it to me by email?
Okay, okay.
You get yourself a pen.
I had it right now.
You know I was in Louisiana for 2 weeks.
What cities? In New Orleans?
I was in Slidell, Covington, and New Orleans.
All right.
Matter of fact,
okay.
I spoke in Covington and Slidell, and I went to the University of Loyola in New Orleans. I was there, but I did not speak there, but I was there for the Justice Conference they had.
Okay, okay, okay. I'm ready, sir.
Okay, it's BANCO 9342 at sbcglobal.net. And let me give you my phone number too while you're here. My phone number is 269-925-0001.
All right, that's Banco, BANCO, 9342, at sbcglobal.net.
That's it.
And 269-925-0001.
That is right. That's it right there. Matter of fact, I'm planning on coming back to Louisiana, and cause one of the things that we did there, we got a chance to go to Covington and bring the judges, the prosecutor, the court-appointed attorney, the mayor, the sheriff, and a couple other of these guys in and have a chat with them and ask them the question, how do a person get 30 years for one joint?
Right, right.
You know,
right,
and I'm not through with them yet, but I did warn them. I told them if you didn't clean this up, your name would be going on my T-shirt. You're going to be wanted for crimes against humanity.
Yeah.
And
well,
they don't like that very much because they're not used to that kind of talk.
Well, you know, the local newspaper, the Times-Picayune, back in May, had a whole week series on Louisiana, the prison capital of the world.
Yes.
That was a whole week. If you go to NOLA.com, NOLA.com, which is the paper's website, I guess if you go in the search engine, you'll come across, I think it was 7 days.
And you know what?
I read
that already.
Okay.
I read it, and matter of fact, I visit the jail with a couple of inmates in Covington to have a one-on-one conversation with them about the prison system.
Okay.
And to see where I could help them, because the only way I'm going to be able to help these people, they have to stand up. And I tell you, at that meeting, there may have been over 100 people at that meeting in Covington that day, and they gave it to these judges. They gave it. I don't know whether I gave them strength. I don't know whether I gave them the power, but whatever it was, they gave it to them. And I commended them. At the end, I said, you did a remarkable job. I said, until you tell these judges that they're doing wrong, they think they're doing right.
Right.
Absolutely. But listen, I got to move on.
Okay.
But I do want to tell you.
Thanks.
You contact me and let's talk.
Okay, thanks.
All right, then. Mary Neal, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Praise God. You know, Reverend Pinckney, I was so concerned about you because I was calling and unable to reach you by phone.
I've just been so busy.
You've been
very busy,
haven't you?
Yeah, I've been so busy, and when people call, I come. That's the difference between me and most people. If you call me and you ask me, I can't say no to you because I don't think as a human being, if you need my help, I got to come. I'm coming to Atlanta. I'm coming down there, and I can't wait to get there.
You had said that 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and then the next thing was that you were out of pocket, and last Sunday I know that you had technical difficulty, and so I was very concerned because you know how things are in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely, and you are 100% correct, but you know one thing? I appreciate you worrying about me because I think we have to be concerned about each other.
We do.
I think we have to be.
Really do.
And that's the only way I know how to protect each other, by being concerned about each other. Because they're out there. I'm telling you not what I think. I'm telling you what I know. They're doing everything within their power to neutralize me. That even includes if they want to try to kill me. They can do that too. But I'm prepared because I've been living my life right. So, you know,
praise
whatever you're going to do, you bring it on.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I was concerned about you because you are a well-loved man and a very important man in the justice movement. So it is marvelous, the work that you're doing, and we're all very codependent. You know, the thing is that we need to all stand up together and we need to care about one another. And you exemplify that. And by your being that type of person and by the forum that God is giving you, then lots of other people are learning from you. And I believe, Reverend, it is possible that you can even be an inspiration to some of these leaders who have not been picking up the banner. They have not been doing what they should do, but it is possible that they look at you and be inspired.
Yes. You know
people
what you
can
said.
Change.
Yes, they can.
The whole thing is people can change.
I just love what you just said. People can change. And I believe that even these ministers that's being bought, $3-4 and a 16 ounces of Coca-Cola. I believe they can change. Honest, this is the truth. I believe that they can change. I believe that they will see the light sooner or later, Mary, Ralph, and Rob and everybody else out there. I believe that people can change. I believe that they can change. And I believe they really want to change, but they're afraid to. See, the ministers here is under a guy named Marcus Robinson. He's a hypnotist. He's been trying to hypnotize me for years. I can't be hypnotized. Maybe something wrong with my brain. But Mary, maybe you can help me with that.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are under hypnosis, and we laughing about it. But did you know that ACLU? Wait a minute. Let me make sure. I think I got it right. That it was ACLU. Let's see. But in any case, they said that the military may have done, and they call it PSYOPS, on Congress to get them to go into Afghanistan. So I've got that on my page on an article called Mass Hypnosis by Mary Neal. So you can put that in there. I wrote a poem about hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And there is mass hypnosis going on. You know, anytime these many people, we have over 350 million people in America, and basically people are being terrorized and frustrated and living in fear and not knowing what's going on and feeling like their government is being taken away from them, and they sit back and basically complain in whispers to each other when there's only a few thousand people doing this, then that has to have some sort of spiritual explanation.
Mm.
Because I just, you know, it's amazing how many people don't like what's happening but are doing nothing and saying very little. And not all of these people, you know, you got 350 million people, not all of them are being paid off.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
But a lot of them are afraid to speak up. They're afraid to do anything. Or even if they talk to you about the situations that they don't like, you know, how many actually come to the meetings or come to the protests? So there's something beyond normal going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know. I wanted to let you know, did you hear about Eric Oliver?
Eric who?
Eric Oliver. Eric
no.
Oliver is a young man who he and his family live in Florida.
Okay.
And their home was accosted by a white mob. A white mob came to their home looking for his friend, who was a 16-year-old Hispanic boy.
Okay.
And he ordered them, the family ordered them, asked them to leave their home, leave their yard, leave their porch. And they started cursing the family and threatening the family. Eric Oliver's mother is a wheelchair-bound woman. And he said, look, my mother is in a wheelchair. You all are disturbing us, and you're on our land, on our porch. Please leave. They refused to leave. Somehow they got a hold of the 16-year-old boy they came for, and they were beating him. Eric Oliver intervened physically in the beating that was going on, and intervened physically with the mob. And he was like a big, strong young man. He was getting the best of whoever he was going against.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he had a weapon or not. But in any case, they left. And one woman said, you're going to jail, nigger.
Mm.
Excuse the term. Anyway, in a little while, sure enough, the police came. And the police arrested Oliver. And they refused to take a statement from Oliver or his family or any of the neighbors regarding the mob, regarding the trespassers. They refused to take a statement. They refused to take complaint against the mob that came to accost that family. Instead, they arrested Oliver and put him under a $100,000 bond.
What for?
And battery. This is in Florida.
Okay. Did you send me an email on that?
Yes. And also, you can just put in the in Google, Mary Neal, Eric Oliver.
Okay.
And, it's my Justice Back blog. But these things are happening. The thing is that black people in Florida are not even able, you know, Zimmerman, Florida, and he killed Trayvon Martin, and call Stand Your Ground. Black people in Florida are not even allowed to stand their ground at their own home when facing a mob.
Mm.
So that's what, you know, that, and of course we know what happened to Marissa Alexander, who stood on ground against her abusive ex-husband and just fired a shot in the air. She is in prison, sentenced for over 20 years. So what
for defending herself, is that correct?
Absolutely. And she only shot in the air, so she really wasn't. She was just really trying to intimidate him so that he wouldn't beat her senseless. And remember that this is a woman who was just out of the hospital after having a baby, and she knew that she was very, very weak, and she couldn't afford to be beaten right then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the thing is that it's very bad that these people have laws that don't apply to blacks. And, of course, I found that out, that there are many laws that don't apply to blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wanted to let you know that we have a new initiative called Human Rights for Prisoners March.
Yes.
And what we're looking at is doing this like a relay march so that nobody has to leave their town.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is that there's a banner, and the banner says Human Rights for Prisoners on one side, and on the other side it says End Mass Incarceration. So we're looking at starting these banners at the state lines and passing it to people who believe that we need to do something to support prisoners. You know, we have a hunger strike going on right now. I believe Virginia. We have the prisoners still on lockdown and going through a hunger strike. Some of them are still participating at Pelican Bay. We have prisoners who are suffering in long-term solitary confinement. They're saying they're hungry because we have a situation where sheriffs, even in jails and prisons, are able to make more money feeding their prisoners less.
Wow.
So they're
and you're right. And you know what? You're absolutely correct about that, because that's how they meet their budget, their own budget, because they normally what they do, they buy good food, but they take the guards normally take the good food home and give you the straps. And that's
how
it's
that right?
Listen, you got 30 seconds to say whatever you want, because I got to bring on Roz, and then I'll bring on Libby. So let's go ahead with it.
Yes, look online, please, for the Human Rights for the 2012 Human Rights for Prisoners March for information about that. And Reverend Bean, I want to thank you so much. I look forward to you coming to Atlanta. You still think you might come in August?
I'm definitely going to be there in August.
Absolutely.
So I can't think of anything that would stop coming in August. My goal is to be there with you, and if we need to march on the Cochran Law Firm, we will do it. And listen,
well,
I was on
them, you know, they're in receivership.
I want to tell you this before I bring on Roz. I was on C-SPAN on Saturday with my speech.
Just one thing, sir. The Cochran firm is in receivership now,
okay,
out there in California.
Mm-hmm.
The one lawyer was spending, according to the lawsuit, spending too much money hiring people to have sex with and paying the staff for sex. And
wow.
So the other partner like that, he sued, and so they put the law firm in receivership now until that suit is settled. So they're just, you know, the thing is, so many times they prove over and over who they are.
Right,
Johnny Cochran's
absolutely
been dead for a number of years, and these people are suing each other over how much money they can spend to have sex with their staff.
Wow.
So look online for that.
Will
and I appreciate you, Reverend.
Hey, appreciate you too. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm so excited to be here, and I was worried about you too.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, because I tell you, it has really been a challenge. But I'm just the man for it.
And you are absolutely fantastic. I thank you. I praise the Lord for you. It's such exciting news about Brian Claypool and the FBI.
Yes, talk about
it. And Brian emailed me, and I emailed George, and people went there. God provided. God is in charge, everyone. All of us coming together, no matter what color we are, we need to stand, save America, save our schools. George and Lenny and another couple went to hear Brian's press conference. I went to Charles Smith's beautiful funeral in Long Beach. Charles Smith died needlessly. LAU was negligent in his death. They killed him as though they sprayed him themselves with a fire extinguisher because they were not secure. This has gone on for at least 15 years.
Mm.
And Charles Smith was a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Yeah, I spoke with him.
Yes, he called the show once.
Yes, he did. And I called him at home, and we talked for about 15, 20 minutes.
He's wonderful. I'm going to call the NAACP here. I've called them. I've left messages all over.
Yeah. Matter of fact, he's the one told me about. He told me about the NAACP there, and he wanted to come in and help me fight the NAACP, and I really appreciate that.
Right. He told me he'd vote for me if I ran for office.
Mm-hmm.
Charles, I talked to him in the hospital. We were going to go and tape him. George was. We were going to interview him and me and put it on the internet, but he died.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Dorothy didn't get anything. She's going to lose her house. They hadn't been paying Charles for at least 6 years. And nothing.
Wow.
The school district is so corrupt, they should all be put on the bullet train and taken to jail. They have killed off Charles Smith. I want to know if I'm next because I'm not well. Is my 180 students were in the toxic chemicals? Are they going to die from this? We need everybody to start calling the FBI all over the country with whatever you have, with child abuse, teacher abuse. And the number here in California is 310-477-6565.
Repeat that.
310-377-6565.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right, and thank God for Brian Claypool.
Mm-hmm.
Even just that he is one more part of this. I know God is in this. We are going to win. And to tell you about my case, I sent up a letter to Sacramento, to Industrial Relations, Workers' Comp. They still can't tell me that a judge changing the facts, changing the testimony, making a medical diagnosis is wrong.
That's amazing. But listen,
amazing.
Ron,
I am just so upset about Charles's death.
I am very upset about him because I know he was a splendid character, and let's keep him in our prayers. There ain't nothing on this earth we could do for him now but pray for his wife. And on that note, Roz, I got to bring on Libby. Libby, you there?
I'm here, and we've got some new things on bhbanco.org. That's BH is in Benton Harbor, BANCO.org. One thing that I think I'll probably start with, because it's really short, somebody contacted the website with an observation that they had when they were at the Occupy the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
was that was at the end of May in Benton Harbor. So this is the report. Law enforcement abuse sanctioned by Berrien County. An officer stated, "There's a place I can put you." That's the headline. A report from a protester at Occupy the PGA in Benton Harbor, May 2012, reads, "I saw many police and sheriffs, all with cameras, engaged in the intimidation tactic of photographing and taping protesters. Some were right up in people's faces. An officer told a protester that he could not walk in a certain place. The protester said that was illegal and cited a law. The officer stated, 'There's a place I can put you.' This was a stunning occurrence and an example of why Representative to Congress Fred Upton's Berrien County, Michigan, has a reputation of being the most punitive and fascist in the state of Michigan. At one point, four military-looking men emerged from an SUV and rapidly began photographing everyone. Upon nearing the golf course, I observed officers reprimanding protesters, but being kind and helpful to people attending the PGA tournament. The difference in treatment and demeanor was stark. Out-of-towners can imagine after this experience what goes on daily in Benton Harbor. Cops working for the corporation to remove the population by any means necessary. Berrien County residents and Michiganders allow this all to happen, thereby sanctioning a form of genocide." So that was a powerful report.
Man, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, but I also have a lot of other stuff. I don't know if you're interested in Benton Harbor, a city stolen from its community.
Yeah, let's read that.
Okay, Benton Harbor was one of the first. You can just stop me because this is long.
Yeah.
So just say when it's, you know, because whenever you stop me, then people can go on and they can read the rest of it. Benton Harbor was one of the first cities in Michigan to become subject to Public Act No. 4, which allows the state to take over the running of municipalities or school districts that they deem to be in financial distress. This greatly disputed act allows a state-appointed manager to effectively remove all power from the democratically elected city council. This raises the question, who is best suited to run a city, the people who live and work there or an outsider? Big business, help or hindrance, ? Whirlpool was born in Benton Harbor, the Whirlpool Corporation, around 100 years ago as the Upton Machine Company and has operated here on some level ever since. Most of the manufacturing was done here until the 1980s when factories began to close as so-called cost-cutting exercises. Whirlpool is now building a new campus in the city with more than $20 million in tax credits to help it along. But the jobs created by this are unlikely to help the unemployment problem in Benton Harbor. Existing staff will be relocated instead. It is easy to see why many people see Whirlpool and other large corporations as simply using their bargaining power to get access to state funding to give them cheap new developments. Next headline is attracting industry, the first step in regeneration, ? Big businesses are able to get a lot of resources from the state if they know where to look. Renaissance zones are areas in Michigan targeted for regeneration, and Benton Harbor is home to two of them. By building or locating themselves in these areas, businesses and residents can be exempt from taxes for up to 10 years, which for big companies can make a lot more cash than investing in unit trusts or other classic money-making opportunities. The theory is that once some businesses come, others will follow, and the rest of the problem in the area will disappear. And the next headline is Harbor Shores, creating affordable housing, ? In one word, no. This development, with its golf course and plans for high-end hotels and shops, was built with state and government funding by nonprofit companies and the backing of Whirlpool, a great place to house their new campus-based employees. It is unlikely that the majority of Harbor Shores residents will be moving there. The new buildings sell for up to $500,000, where the average house price in the rest of the city hovers around $70,000. The goal statement on the Benton Harbor City website seems to have forgotten what's written there. Our goals and objectives are to continue to develop viable neighborhoods, including decent and safe housing, for the betterment of a more suitable living environment, eliminate slums and blight, and to expand economic opportunities for the residents of Benton Harbor. That's it. You can
all right,
get it.
Very good. Excellent. Do you got anything else you want to say right fast? We got about 7 minutes, so you can say whatever you want. And then I got to bring George, Ralph, Mary, and then I'm bringing Roz back on. Go right ahead.
You can just read that very last part at BentonHarborCity.com. And then the rest of that, what I was just reading, is democracy, use it or lose it, and if regeneration of the wrong kind. So a couple more paragraphs of pretty interesting information about Benton Harbor there. So that's at bhbanco.org, and my clock says 6 p.m. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care now. Listen, George, you go right ahead. You got about 90 seconds to say whatever your heart desires.
Okay. I really thank you for all of this and what everybody else is bringing in. We have an important decision to make because, in my opinion, we're going to be a technologically advanced society. Are we going to become a Darth Vader society, evil and technologically advanced, or a Star Trek society, benevolent and technologically advanced? And we're right at that tipping point right now. And if we don't stop this corruption in all these areas, the people are talking about what's going on in the jail. That's a direct relationship to what happens in K-12. The sheriffs know this. Sheriff Baca knows this. We discuss this with them. And when I speak about it publicly, good people thank me for this. We have problems in this town, too, with our jail, but I'll tell you what. Name a public official who's elected who admitted that they made a mistake and they're going to fix it. Now, our sheriff has some problems here, as you read about in the Huffington Post and everything. But he is the only elected official anybody knows of who has said, I'm going to fix this mess. And we have to fix it, because if we want to lower what goes on in our jails, we have to fix our public education system. So I would hope that everyone could help us use LA Unified as a national example to stop this corruption. The local number in the field office here is 310-477-6565. Also, call your representative. I don't care where in the U.S. you are. Call the FBI in Washington. Do whatever it takes. Write President Obama. Make them do a complete investigation so when we bust LA Unified on the multiple areas of corruption, we stop these people nationwide.
Right on.
We have to take this unique opportunity. Thank you very much.
All right, very good, Joe. Thank you. Ralph, go right ahead.
Yes, I'd like to return to the opening of the program when you talked and you gave the numbers of our representatives, and we have the type of government that our representatives want. It's no accident. And as in you're returning to Georgia, talking about the Honorable Cynthia McKinney, and I'm trying to encourage her to make another run for that government. You'll be returning there, and we must make stands locally and for people who have told the truth. You have told the truth. The Honorable Cynthia McKinney has told the truth. We have to begin focusing where we are. We have to take back our government that has been hijacked. We have to take up schools that were always hijacked. We have to take our economy that has been hijacked. We have to take the jobs that we never got. And we have to understand that and dig in now. And one final request. You all are online. Look up LynnStewart.org and send her a Get Well card. She could use it and with birds on it. Get Well card with birds on it. She could use it. She needs some pick-me-up, but she's ready to do battle with this corrupt government. And remember that the government of Egypt has supported her client, Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, by demanding his immediate release. Dr. Morsi, who is the president elected by people of Egypt, said they want the Sheikh back because they know America lied about it. And his right, Eric Holder, about Florida. And there's so much we could talk about opposing this government that claims to be ours, but we have to look at ourselves and say, we are the ones that put him there, and we are the ones that can take them out, and we have to demonstrate it. Thank you so much.
Very good. Listen, I want you to tell Lynn, I said, hey, we love her, and don't forget to tell my good friend Betty, give her a big hug for me, and say, Reverend Pinckney said, hey. On that note, let me bring in Roz real fast. Roz, go ahead.
Okay, I want everybody to just keep praising the Lord. Look what we're all doing. We need to talk to everybody. If they've been injured and abused, there's wonderful millions of teachers out there that are wonderful. And stop blaming the teachers. There's a few bad apples in the bunch there. And we have to start taking care of everybody. We have to start taking our country back. We have to start getting rid of our corrupt judicial system. But God, we have to go to God first. He's in charge, and I can see him moving, and I hope everybody in your audience can. Blessings to all out there. Do not give up. We are standing together, all of us.
Amen. Way to go. Mary, go right ahead. You're gone. Libby, you got anything you want to say?
Not really. I can't think of anything, but I just really appreciate everybody that's on this program. And
absolutely, absolutely. And I want everybody to know that yesterday everything was recorded by C-SPAN, and even my speech was recorded by C-SPAN on yesterday. I didn't see it myself, but I got several calls when I got home this morning, and they said that they saw Zachary. And they said it was an amazing speech. I don't see, well, that's what I do all the time. So I can't see the amazement in it. But it was a speech. And if I would have had more time, I probably could have really laid it out like it should have. But go to C-SPAN and go and look up. This is important. 714 C-SPAN, and you will see me on there. But on that note, I hate to tell everybody, I want to say, Ralph, I truly, truly enjoyed you in Baltimore, and I'd say it was tremendous, and I want everybody to keep their head to the sky, and I want people in California to know, let's pressure the FBI to do something. Make sure you do, because if you don't pressure them, they will not do a thing. And on that note, we have just ran out of time, and I'm out of here, and I'll see you all next week. God bless y'all, God keep y'all, and just keep up the good work. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
My family.
Thank you.
Okay.